spirits. So they say I got daddy issues. Well, let me explain. For years, I struggled with my identity, not fully knowing who my father was and trying to accept the fact that, you know, spirit, he's an ex-crackhead, for goodness sake. Over the years, my dad and I didn't always see eye to eye, but we quickly realized through our differences, we are able to find common ground in our poetry. So sit down with us today, and as we discuss the trials and tribulations of having an absent father and the generational cycles that we will be breaking by discussing our differences in opinions. I say we bring back the Black fathers in the home and change the dynamic on the Black family. Spirits, we are still breaking generational curses. In season 5, episode 2, we're talking parenting, and I got daddy issues. What about you? Let go. This podcast is sponsored by Kamau Empire Community and Public Relations. If God gave you the idea to start a business or pursue your dreams as a creative or an entrepreneur, this is your sign. Hi, my name is Orkia Kamau, and I'm the CEO and founder of Kamau Empire Community and Public Relations, a company created to assist creatives and entrepreneurs with branding, marketing strategies, as well as graphic design and social media managing. You can book your first free consultation with us on Facebook at Orkia Kamau or on Instagram at Kamau Empire CPR. Don't worry, at Kamau Empire, it gets easier. Are you ready to take flight? Allow Kamau Empire to spread your divine light. Fly high, spirits. I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but. Let go.
Access granted.
Yeah. Well, I got DJ Mike in the building right now. Okay. Yeah, I'm still here. I'm still here, I'm still here, I'm still here, I'm still here. Hey! I'm still here. Still here, MB and Rocco, we right here, we right here. I ain't playing. No, we ain't playing.
Yeah.
I ain't playing.
Yeah. I'm still here. But they wanted me dead, yeah. Put money on her head, okay. Yeah. That's what my brother had said. That man ain't no killer, nah. Yeah, he was just scared, mm-hmm. Yeah. He know he was born to be led, okay. Yeah. Now was born to be a dread. They say I had ox, but all of them fled. Hit the gas hard cause they lights turn red. They eat, but they not getting fed. Cause of the hate, it's hard to break bread, yeah. Grand Rising. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, or whatever time you are listening to this, spirits. And Abari Ghani, my beautiful spirited butterflies. For those of you who do not know, Abari Ghani is Swahili for what's the news. And I'll tell you the news. But before I do, I want to say thank you for making me your favorite podcaster. No, I'm just not. But seriously, honestly, I haven't done this in a while. So I'm definitely going to give them a shout out right now to my listeners based on my analytics, based on the countries. So again, big shout out to obviously United States, but then we got Germany, New Zealand, Australia, India, United Kingdom, Canada, South Africa, Sweden. How did I get to Sweden? Kenya, Ghana, Romania, France, Mexico. Thank you so much for listening. All around the world. Ah, my podcast being heard. Okay, you get it. Anyway, honestly, you could be anywhere in the world, but you are here with your girl, so I appreciate you. For real. And if you are new to the show, hi, my name is Miss Kiki Kamau. Let me slow that down one more time because I always do this. Hi, my name is Miss Kiki Kamau. And this is my First Amendment podcast. We are in season 5. And this segment is what I like to call the inauguration, where I rant and rave for no more than 20 minutes, going over topics like Black entertainment news, giving you some business tips, birthday, going over birthdays, asking you the question of the week and going over my weekly overview. Going over my weekly overview. You get it. You got it. So yeah, today is September 25th, 2023. And really quick, let me get my calendar here. Because I want to see what holidays we got coming up. And y'all, if you don't already know me, you know I don't celebrate holidays. But something about me, I still love to give them a shout out. I like to highlight my holidays in yellow so I can see what's going on. So, as I'm looking and I'm looking and I'm looking, don't look like no holidays is coming up. But there will be a full moon this Friday, September 29th, for those of you who don't know. And then we'll be sliding and slipping and sliding right on into October, where, you know, Halloween is approaching. So that is that. And I'm glad that I was able to do that because I don't always do that. Okay, so that is that. So no holidays, no current holidays or nothing like that. By the way, I want to say something really quick, Spirits. How do y'all like my song that I put as my intro now? Because normally, you know, you had that what are they teaching these children in school, child? And can somebody and, you know, and whatnot. So, what do y'all think about the song? That actually is my song. That's going to be my single coming out in the top of the year. So, definitely, and it's titled I'm Still Here. So, definitely be on the lookout for that. So, I just wanted to know, do y'all like it or not? It's going to be... be on the lookout for it, because I think y'all, I love it. I can't stop listening to Australia. Because, like, it's for anybody that's still here, bro. Like, it slaps for anybody that's been through something, for real. Like, have you, like, somebody said they was going to kill you, or somebody wished bad on you, or you've been in a car accident, or, you know, you was in the military, you went to war, or whatever. I don't know, but you still here. You feel me? So many people didn't make it, but you still here. It slaps, bro. I get that from that dude on Instagram. It slaps, bro. Bro, you are odd, bro. You are. Okay, anyway. Yo, the terminology, the way these children talk today is so cute. I don't care what nobody say. I love slang, okay? You know, I'm back to drinking tea. Spirits, you know, like I said, I had to wait until I was in my comfort zone at home, back in my peace, back in my element. And now I have a boom mic, and now I have like different things that's helping me elevate a little bit better. And you're gonna see that throughout the season, if that makes any sense. So let me read you my tea. My tea quote, because you know I be having tea quotes. If y'all remember in my past episodes, I had some tea quotes. I'm bringing the tea quotes back. You know, in season 5, I be trying to bring everything back, because in seasons, and even seasons when I introduce artists and entrepreneurs, they take up the majority of my spotlight. So you know what I'm saying? Nothing like I don't want them to, or nothing like that or whatever. It's just saying that, like, they take up the majority of my spotlight. So here I am being me, and you get to be with me. You know what I'm saying? And so this is what it looked like. Okay, so my tea quote, it says, accept the challenge you are facing. It may become your greatest gift. And that is very true, Spirits, because I just want to say something. And for those of you who are listening, you know me. You probably run in my circle. And you're probably about to be so shocked what I'm about to say. But I truly feel like I have been blue balled in the poetry little circle industry. I haven't been getting invited to shows and whatnot. And I'm not mad. I'm mostly disappointed at myself. Because when I first started this poetry, when I first started going back into my poetry career, I told myself in my head that I was going to fuck up every time I go to an open mic. I was gonna fuck up every time I go to an event. And see, here's the thing, Spirit. It wasn't even like I was like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna fuck up. It was like, I'm gonna make sure I fuck up. Okay, so let me explain. Now, the reason why I was so adamant about not doing such a great job is because I wanted people to see my growth. Because, okay, let me explain. I'm a Leo, okay? So, naturally, people assume that Leos love the spotlight and we love attention. And, you know, and we think we all that in a bag of chips. And I want to say partially that it's partially true, right? So what I had to do was I had to humble myself. And in order to do that, it had to be real. So I realistically did not do such a great job majority of the times when I was on the mic. And now I feel like motherfuckers are like, you know what? She thinks it's a game out here. She ain't taking it seriously. But let me tell you something. Okay? I'm taking it seriously. And it is time for my voice to be heard in a different element. And just like my quote said, it is time for a change. I can't even remember the quote no more. What it said? It's a accepting the challenge. Yes, okay, I've accepted the challenge that I'm no longer gonna really be doing these shows and whatnot. And as an artist, I have to dig inside myself and ground myself in my true roots. So things will be changing, sweetie. I will be doing my thing, just not in the capacity and in the general vicinity that I've been doing it in. Okay, but you will be seeing me. Trust and believe. God got her. God got me. Yeah, that part. So I had to say that. I had to say that because it ain't over. I'm still here. You feel me? I'm still here, and I'm just gonna be doing a little something a little different. So just be on the lookout for that. All right, let's get into some business tips. Okay, so I got a really lovely business tip for you, Spirits, and you're not gonna believe this when I tell you this, but my entire show is scripted. And y'all go like, what? No, but seriously, I literally wrote down what I'm saying exactly now. And it sounds so natural, don't it? Because I paraphrase. Now, that's what it's about. It's about paraphrasing. It's about writing down your own content, scripting, basically having a script. Because you are your own, you are your business, you are your brand, you are your writer, you are your photographer, you are your everything in the beginning, right? And I'm now seeing that, and I'm now accepting that, and I'm now walking in that. Speaking of that, I'm gonna talk to y'all about my book because, ooh, child, things are gonna get easier. Anyways, but the business tip, yes. So, write your own content. Script your own content, then paraphrase it to sound natural, just to sound exactly the way you would normally talk to a group of people or your peers. Do this for how-to videos, podcasting, especially your YouTube videos for sure. They even have apps now where you can upload your scripts onto the app so you can read it as a teleprompter like they do in the news. So what helps me script my podcast, I utilize this thing called Rocketbook. You can find it on Amazon. I do not have an Amazon store. I'm not one of those people, okay? And I'll probably, you know what? Once I start getting up there and hiring people, I am going to be one of those people. Don't get it twisted. I just can't afford it. So that's why I'm not one of those people, but I would like to be one of those people. So right now, fuck them people, okay? Because I want to be them people. But anyway, so I got the Rocket Book and the Rocket Pen. And it's so amazing because you're able to write on it kind of like a whiteboard. And then it comes with like a little cloth. You can just wipe it right off. And that way you're not killing a bunch of trees and, you know, throwing away a bunch of paper and utilizing a bunch of stuff you don't need. So I've shared a few with friends and people that I knew had podcasts and they enjoyed it very much so. And I enjoy it myself. So you will enjoy it too. So just look it up on Amazon. It is called Rocket Book with a rocket pen. Don't forget the rocket pen. Okay. All right, let's get into some Black entertainment news. First on the list, a Texas teen was suspended for her hairstyle, and then she sued the government. Greg Abbott. This student and his family are accusing the governor and the state's attorney general of allegedly failing to enforce the state's Crown Act. Spirits, are y'all familiar with the Crown Act? Okay, so let me pull up a little bit of the history of the Crown Act, and I should have had this already up. But in my own words, the Crown Act basically is it creates a respectful, It creates a respectful and open word, a world for natural hair. And it was created in 2019 to ensure protection against discrimination for, you know, African-American and brown and black children. So basically it's a hair law. So that way, you know, we can wear locks, we can wear braids, we can wear beads, we can wear, you know, weaves, we can wear, you know, these and that, okay? And we can get with it, and they can get with it, and everybody cool with it. And that's what it's supposed to be like. But according to this Texas teen, that ain't what it was. Now, I'm a little curious because the teen is a dude. And it says, Daryl George, a 17-year-old student at Barbers Hill High School in Bellevue, Texas, was suspended for more than 3 weeks because officials said his locks, my brother, violated the school's dress code. You see what I'm saying? They still with this fuck shit. And this is crazy to me because, the act was passed in 2019. Here we are in 2023 and we still going through it. Speaking of still going through stuff, I got to get off that topic, y'all, because we still going through it, you know, to this day. I love when he say that. I can't even remember who said it, but they said it's a famous boxer, and he's like, to this day. Anyway, let me bring it on home real quick to some Florida local news. And by the way, Spirits, I get my news from BET, if you were wondering. So there you go with that. BET News. And then I get my local news from the Tampa Bay Times. So just to keep an eye on that, I get my local news from the Tampa Bay Times. Okay, Google, stop. Like, seriously, rude.
Something went wrong. Try again in a few seconds.
This is why you should mute him at all costs when you be busy, because, you know, he's very disrespectful. But anyway, moving forward into Black news, we're talking about local news, Tampa Bay Times, and let's talk about what happened in Orange County, in Orlando. Florida deputies fatally shoot a man who pointed a gun at passing cars. Now, this is crazy because it took them like 2 days technically to kill this man. Just listen to the story. It said that around 9 p.m. Saturday, after neighbors reported that the man, his name has not been released, was firing shots in his backyard. But when the police arrived, he left. But then on Sunday, several people called 911 to report the man was pointing a gun at passing cars and threatening his roommate. Okay, so they say that when the police got there this time, the man proceeded to go into his garage, into the backyard, and continued making threats. So the deputy shot him with a stun gun, supposedly, and then, you know, obviously they murdered him. This took place in Orlando. Like I said, the name of the man is not being released. They said several deputies returned fire, killing the man because he did take one shot, supposedly. And they said that the deputies have been placed on paid administrative leave while the shooting is being investigated. This is happening too often, especially in Florida. They get away with killing black people all the time. And I'm telling you, I think this person is black. They probably was drunk. I want to say they was... I almost said that. Don't listen to me. I was about to say I hope they was white, but I don't hope nobody died. I would just hate for it to be a black person. How about that? But if it was, you know, I'm not surprised. And may they rest in peace, whomever they are. And condolences to their family and friends as well. In other news, this same particular type of situation took place again. And this is we are seeking justice for Elijah McCain's death. Let's go into the story. Okay, so body cam footage revealed that McClain was arrested, wrestled to the ground, crying, "I can't breathe." Spirits, looks like we're going to have another protest on our hands coming soon. And it also looks like we're going to have some COVID coming back, some blackouts happening, and all kinds of stuff. Just be on the lookout because it's about to get a little crazy before it gets better, okay? But justice for McClain for real. They said in their attempt to apprehend McClain, the officers used two control holds and did not check his vitals, which officers are required to do after deploying the technique. They said they got him down to the ground, but they said that he had really, he had crazy strength. They trying to say he had retard strength. Now I'm confused. Now I'm curious as to if the little boy was disabled or mentally challenged, because that's what they trying to say. You think nobody don't know what that mean when somebody say crazy strength? Don't put that in quotation marks like somebody stupid. Anyway, they said that young Elijah McClain tried to grab the cop's gun. He claimed that he was attempting to grab their gun, and they said they weren't trying to physically harm him, but oh my gosh, I don't even know how he died. All I know is he couldn't breathe, and so I'm assuming they choked him out and killed him. Trial is for the first three in the connection with McClain's death of these cops. The third officer involved in the incident is scheduled to be trialed individually in October, but the rest of them are going to be trialed together in mid-October. What is it? Oh, I don't see when the rest of them are supposed to be charged, but the other one is supposed to be going through it in October. So there you have it. That is your black entertainment news. May he rest in peace as well to Elijah McCain. And my condolences to his family and friends. But you know what they say, when one person passes away, someone is born. So speaking of that, we are officially in Libra season. It is Libra's birthday. Speaking of a Libra, let me call out a Libra real quick. Ben, I ain't trying to sell all your business or whatever, but I just want to I just want everybody to be on the lookout that some of us really want to strive for greatness, right? And we really want to do good, but sometimes we get wrapped up and things get, you know, in our way, and sometimes life happens as well. And so I just want to say, Ben, I'm not mad at you, but, you know, I gotta keep you at bay. But it is Libra season. And y'all, if y'all got some Libra friends, check on y'all Libra friends, because they tend to stay in their head a lot. Y'all remember that one DJ and dancer Libra that passed away, supposedly killing himself. So y'all just check on y'all Libras, because Libras are a little strange, in my opinion. They can just be a little cold and weird, you know. Definitely check on them. I don't know. I was going to do celebrities, family, and friend, but I'm just going to give a shout out to my niece, who is a Libra. Her birthday is coming up soon. When? I don't know. But it's coming up soon. I guess his birthday coming up soon or whatever. Eternally Risen Spirits, y'all may have remembered her from season 4 as well, from Introducing Artists and Entrepreneurs. Her birthday is coming up as well. She's a Libra, so big shout out to her. But yeah, check on your Libra friends. Ben, I am not mad at you. I am publishing my own book, okay? I don't want to get into it. But speaking of my week, let's get into it. I got into it with my daddy, which made me realize that I got some more growth and learning to do. I'm not there yet. I would like to be there, but I'm not there yet. We're getting there, you know, baby steps, right? But I want y'all to know that with every step I take, with every breath I breathe, and every move I make, I am slowly becoming a better version of myself. And sometimes you have to remove people's ways and characteristics and attributes of themselves, so that way it doesn't, you know, it's not toxic for your growth as well. So sometimes I have to remove people. I had to remove my daddy because he loves roaches and he's cool with like insects and infestation and all that stuff. So I had to remove him. I had to remove Ben because he lied about helping me with my book. Sometimes you just gotta remove people. And so I'll talk to y'all more about that later. When I do I'm gonna start doing bonus episodes to kind of relieve myself when I'm not able to go to therapy, because I started back therapy again as well. So a lot on that. A lot. I told you it was gonna be a lot. Last episode I didn't tell y'all my week. And I also didn't mention my son because I was trying to be modest. But I want y'all to know that I know what the fuck is going on. I know what I be doing. And I know how I run my show. Let me know how you like it. You feel me? And let's get into this quote. Let's get into this interview with my dad, old school quote. We are talking parenting. I got daddy issues. Father figure part one with old school poet. Lego. Any fool can have a child. That doesn't make you a father. It's the courage to raise a child that makes you a father. By Barack Obama. Okay. Spirits. Welcome back to my podcast. You are tuning in to My First Amendment, where I am your host, Miss Kiki Kamau, and we are in season 5, Spirits, and we are talking parenting all season long. And today I have my lovely co-host, Old School Kamau. Say what's up, what's up?
Lovely.
You are a lovely co-host.
Lovely? I never heard a man describe it lovely. I'm going to take it I'm just going to take it as it is. Old School in house. Greatest poet nobody ever heard of. Minister of Information. The conductor of Underground Railroad. Old School.
Okay, I love it. He always got to go above and beyond. So, Dad, we are talking about parenting, and we are talking about, this episode is titled, I Got Daddy Issues, / Father Figure. So, you know I got daddy issues, but we want to talk about your daddy issues first. So tell me, I need a synopsis of your history from when you was a child. What was it like for your parents, father and mother, seeing them parent you? What was that like? How was it?
When I look back, retrospect, it was normal. Mm. But at the time, it wasn't normal.
Right.
We was the only family on the block that had both parents in the household. All other parents were single parents.
Are you serious? I don't think you've ever told me that.
1963, we moved.
So you had your mama and your daddy?
Yeah, up until 12 years old.
Wow. Now, you don't even know how that just blew my mind. I never knew that.
But hold on.
When did you tell me that?
There's a what's the word when you put up things to let you know that it ain't going that way? We're going to preface this. We're going to preclude this by saying, found out that the guy wasn't my dad.
Oh. Dun, dun, dun. Okay, but you still had a father figure in the house. So talk to me about.
No matter who my father really is, that's still my father because he was there. And see.
Wait a minute. So Grandpa Jesse is not your dad?
According to my mother and my auntie.
That light-skinned man that was real mean.
My dad ain't light-skinned. My dad is brown, darker than you.
I remember Uncle Jesse. Grandpa. Wait a minute. Who am I getting confused?
You thinking of probably Reverend Morgan.
I don't know. Okay,
kinda
so.
Fat.
No, he was skinny. He was a mean man. He used to be mean to us. Like he was like strict.
But that might be my dad.
What was
his
name?
I got pictures of my dad somewhere.
It ain't in here.
Oh, no, this your house.
No. Okay, so.
I'm looking around the wrong
so, resident. What was it like with him? Like, what was
with
he
him,
like as a father?
He wasn't strict. He just was. See, once I gathered a history of black folks, mm-hmm. without a history of black folks, it's easy to not judge them, it's easy to criticize what people like him and my mother did. But when you know the history, during that time, there was colors, mm-hmm. and they were Negroes.
Right, yep.
Now, I don't know if you know the difference. Colors are just total recreation of white people in them.
Right.
That makes them nothing more than just laborers.
Right.
Servants. Mm-hmm. Whereas Negroes want to have an education.
Right.
They want to, they want rights. Mm-hmm. They want to participate in the American system. Colored people don't give a damn about the American system. They just want a job.
How you figure color? What? Can you explain the difference between a colored person? That a colored person don't give a damn about the American system. Explain the difference.
About that?
Yeah.
No. Yeah. Colored.
Can
people,
you? Yeah. I'm sorry. Can you explain the difference between colored people
color
and
the Negro.
Yeah, and the Negro?
Like I said, colors are the descendants of Africans. I don't even say Africans. I hate that word. Because that's from a white man. And I'm
Akibolan.
Akibolan, Pangea, Kemet, but the motherland.
Mm-hmm.
There were two groups of people from the motherland.
Right.
I'm going to just say Africa for use of convenience. Two group of people of African descendants do after slavery.
Mm-hmm.
Even during slavery. But during slavery, the Negroes didn't have a voice.
Right.
But after slavery, Negroes had a voice.
Mm-hmm.
They had a 10-year voice,
mm-hmm.
called Reconstruction. So colored people didn't give a damn about going to no university. They didn't see no value in getting no education.
It was all about skill set.
It was all about working.
Mm-hmm. Working was a skill.
Your labor was your skill set.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have to have a craft. Just your work, labor was your skill set. Mm-hmm. And to them, that was sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
To Negroes, that was not sufficient. That was that's some shit they wanted to distance themselves from as far as possible, as it's only be seen as laborers.
Mm.
So Negroes wanted education.
Uh-huh.
They wanted rights.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to be equality to white people.
Mm-hmm.
Colored people didn't give a damn about being equality.
Mm.
They wanted to just work.
Mm. I see what you're saying.
They wanted to work. They didn't give a damn who was president.
Mm-hmm.
Negroes will tell you who was president, who was vice president. They'll tell you whole chief of staff.
Mm-hmm.
Colored people, they didn't give a damn who was president. Because their life was consistently the same regardless of who sat in them fucking chairs.
Right. So without digressing, your parents were colored or Negro?
My parents were colored.
They were
straight
colored.
Okay. Descendants of sharecroppers who were descendants of slaves.
So what was
my
that
like?
My
father's grandfather was mm-hmm. a slave.
Oh, wow.
My mother's grandfather was a slave.
So as a child, for you as a child?
As
they
a child,
was
I grew up
you,
colored.
What was the teachings like in the home? Like,
color.
So
color.
Okay, right. So there was
color.
No history being taught.
Color.
Okay.
No. The word college was mm-hmm. never, ever, ever even mentioned in my household.
But when
not a conversation. The word was never mentioned.
But around the time that you was growing up, Emmett Till was like, got hung around.
Yeah, Emmett
time.
Till was like
so
5 years, 4 years older.
Wasn't there some conversations about, like,
my
you know.
My parents didn't give a fuck about no civil rights and demonstration and freedom rallies. All they cared about is having a place to go to work
mm-hmm.
and a place to come from after work.
So what about your education? Your sister's
my education. So I grew up like that, thinking that a job. No, let's go back and redefine, additionally define color. Mm. Color, people see themselves as inferior to white people. Mm-hmm. See, right? That's the conditioning the white people put into them. Generations now, all they got to do is just show up.
Right.
And they're going to bow, kiss their feet, do the dance, eat some watermelon, chicken. They're going to do that automatically. Negroes, we ain't doing none of that shit. Mm-hmm. Fuck y'all. We put on a suit. Mm-hmm. But when you put on a suit, you know what that suit is? That's a European ceremonial dress code.
They call it a monkey suit.
So when you put on a suit, a European suit, bitch, you looking worse than the bitch who got on clown shit.
Right.
To me, because you trying to imitate your fucking oppressor.
Right.
Your enslaver. Your colonizer.
Your murderer. By code switching, speaking a certain way.
Yeah. So my mother, I grew up thinking that white people were just unjust, and that we had to fight and struggle and demonstrate for rights. Even though my spirit never let me do that, but that's what I grew up conscious of. That was the environment that I grew up in. But this is where the blessing came from. I got a shirt over there called Lewis Clark. My brother, 10 years older than me, 10 months older than me, 9 years, 10 months older than me, 2 months from being 10 years. And I asked him, he was popular. He was a musician, singer. So he was popular. He's the only person in Hillsborough County ever to get double promoted. Yeah. At the 10th grade, he was the president of Middleton's.
Right.
Student union.
Middleton High School?
It was a high school then, not that.
It was a middle school then.
Not that colonized school over there. It was a separate school.
Oh, gosh.
Because when Middleton and Blake were separate, and not part of the white, Hillsborough County white school system, there was some unity in our neighborhood and community that we haven't seen since. And they purposely took them to high schools, which was the focal points of our culture. One on the west side, one on the east side. So you got everybody. Everybody had to go through Milton or Blake, and you got the same culture of black pride, black independence, like everything, and white people purposely took those two and made them not high schools no more.
So when it came
and
to
they
like
they guilt, and just the guilt to them, they're gonna bring them back 30 years later.
Right.
Integrated high schools, one in performing arts and one in regular high school.
Right.
Close to this place where it was. Kind of like, we sorry, no, you ain't bitches.
Oh, okay.
But baby. Back to me.
Yeah.
I grew up.
Keep digressing.
I don't need to digress because all the stories.
Right. It intertwines.
Culture that we grew up under that makes me the person who I am and them who were they. When I started doing history, first I felt like why my mom and daddy couldn't do this and go to school because I'm thinking school is the key. I went to the Navy. I had three girls pregnant, so I all laughed.
Wait a minute. So you had three people pregnant by the time you joined
three
the military?
Three girls in different schools. Three different schools.
Pregnant. What you mean three different schools?
Child, I was popular.
Wait, you were in high school when you joined?
I joined the Navy at high school because I had the babies at high school.
That's a shame. I mean, not a shame, but I mean.
Well, I graduated.
No, I didn't mean to say that.
I graduated like in January. So my goal was to go to Navy, but this is the thing. I wanted to make me an outfit because I took home economics. I took some classes I took home economics, so I made me an outfit. But I need some trim, so I go to the store, steal some fucking glasses. I had hundreds of dollars in my pocket, hundreds of dollars, because I had three jobs in high school. Three jobs in the morning, 4 o'clock, I get up in the morning and deliver papers to USL. Then after school, I worked at Kentucky Fried Chicken, and on the weekends, I worked at Burns Steakhouse.
Okay.
I was paying bills. Ooh, 12th grade, I'm paying bills, light bills, water bills, gas bills.
Wow, and you were able to do all that.
And I wrapped myself. My mom basically gave me the car because she didn't drive. My mom drove like this.
Yeah.
And she'd get ready to turn, she just fucking panicked. So I was the driver.
Yeah.
But I didn't abuse her, but I had three girls pregnant because I was able to drive to this one house and that one house and that one house. But that's another whole story, really.
Well, we're going to get there because we're still talking about your childhood and what was it like when
your parents...
My
childhood consisted of...
So you talked about the teachings, you talked about the education. What was the love like? Like, what type of love did you receive?
The information they give you about white people. That was the love.
That was the love?
That was the love. do this, 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 and this.
Oh, so you can fit in.
Don't, no, not fit in, so you wouldn't end up swinging on the fucking tree.
Because
that was their mindset. Because that was
so you can conform, kind of.
Conforming.
Yeah.
But to me, I've seen conforming as a challenge. Because I'm like, I could be the best of fucking, after we graduate to Negro now, I could be the best Negro. I'm going to show white people what Negro is all about.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be this, this, and this. But when I wasn't trying to do it academically. Mm-hmm. I was doing it with mannerism. Because...
Yeah, I remember you telling me that. Go into more detail. Tell people, tell my spirits how, you know, when it came to you being black, it was more like, I'm going to be like a sophisticated, professional, like, talk proper type of black guy.
No,
like,
I never want to be no proper talking motherfucking black guy.
Oh.
Never me. Oh. No. Words didn't, it didn't really exist to me until my brother, Lewis Clark, went on one of his trips and came back. And he brought a George Clinton album, Funkadelic,
mm-hmm.
Maggot Brain.
Mm-hmm.
And it changed everything. Mm-hmm. And he had Hendrix with him. He had Bob Dylan with him. Changed everything. Because black people was in rhythm and blues, and rhythm and blues told a story, but rhythm and blues told most of like an exclusive story of the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, relationships going bad. There was some celebration of some relationship, but mostly, I got the blues, my baby gone.
Right.
My man gone.
Right.
My girlfriend took my man, now both of them bitches gone. Yeah, that kind of shit. So, when he brought back his music,
because
he was a musician,
mm-hmm.
and he ain't hang with black people. White people hung with him because he was amazing.
Right.
Absolutely amazing.
But I'm saying, how did that have anything to do with, like, the way you were trying to teach white people, like, I'm going to be a better Negro? Like, so what?
No, I had no concept of teaching them that until my brother.
Okay.
When he came on it, because my brother was, he adopted Muslims, Islam, in the beginning, but not like go to the mosque is Muslim, mm-hmm. but I'm down with y'all, saying Muslim.
Right.
Yeah, I'm going to be in the audience, and I ain't finna do nothing. You're not gonna proselytize me, and I don't want to be in the game.
Right.
But when y'all go out, I follow the parade. I parade with mm-hmm. you, and I applaud with you, and I love what y'all doing. But all black people didn't have the strength to just go all the way out like that,
because
you make a commitment to white people that black, colored Negroes, a lot of what we're to make.
Yeah.
That I'm going to be separate from you, and I don't have shit to do with you no more. Because first thing they're gonna look around, well, where in the fuck we gonna get a job from?
Mm-hmm.
We need, see, white people didn't worry about that shit anyway, because they know if you're controlling everything, you're going to have to come back to me for the job.
Right. Because
there ain't no black industry.
Right.
There's no black manufacturing.
Mm-hmm.
There's no black nothing mm-hmm. but laborers.
Mm-hmm.
You got the little Wall Street, but those were professionals.
Mm-hmm. So what were you like?
What was I like? I was mm-hmm. quiet. My problem, what I was like was invisible.
You're invisible.
My goal was to be invisible, because being dark-skinned and smart was a conundrum.
Because you told me that when you were in the Navy, that you were trying to make the white people in the Navy like you. And
that's 10
like,
years later.
Oh, okay.
I grew into that.
Okay.
And I grew out of that shit, too.
Right.
But before growing into it, I had no concept of me. I was discriminated by my own
Do you feel like that was a lack of you because your parents didn't have a concept of who they were? Like,
of course.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But okay. The other course, but they didn't have a concept of who they were. They had a concept.
They were colored.
This is white people shit.
Yeah.
And we just here.
Gotcha.
No explanation of why we're here, but we're here and we're here to serve them. And that was their life in the synopsis.
And do you feel like it kind of confused you because then you were growing and you were going into like a Negro era? No, but I'm saying like you were going into a Negro era. So.
I seen what they were, the pressure and the stress and the cage that they lived under.
Mm-hmm.
So it was validated through me, what y'all saying. But what gave me the edge is, like I said, when my brother came back, Lewis Clark came back with those records. That broadened my whole horizon on life.
Mm-hmm.
And everything changed. But before then, I was wanting to be invisible because I was black. Black boy by my own people, why you so mm-hmm. black and all that kind of shit. Then I was smart. So I was smart, quiet. So that was a conundrum. That shit just mm-hmm. really didn't go together. You had smart white people, smart black people were mostly light-skinned. And they were vocal.
Mm-hmm.
If you was dark skinned and smart, you just didn't say shit.
Right.
You just, because the color skin, the skin variants, we conditioned to even be affected by that.
So you saying that the love that your parents gave you was to teach you on how to conform into a white society.
How to conform to white society and not just conform, how to master it.
How to master it.
Master it.
What were those teachings like is what I'm trying to ask you.
Those teachings consist of duties, cleaning up, attention to detail, patience, patiently win, being able to take their scolds and their verbal abuse without even reacting to it. Not even really giving a fuck. Because the mission is to finish the job and get paid.
Gotcha.
And come back and do some more. See, it ain't a one-time job. It's to be consistently employed by these white people. So y'all, whatever y'all, I ain't gonna give you nothing to think bad of me about. And my work gonna speak twice as loud than I do.
Okay.
That was my position as I went into the Navy.
Okay.
Because my grandma had taught me that. See, when I was 12 years old, my grandfather died. My mother was, my father was having some issues anyway, because my mother was very promiscuous. Ooh, she was straight up home.
So when did you meet your real dad? Or did
I
you
haven't
never,
yet. Haven't
you
yet. Never... That's two episodes down the line. So when I went into the Navy, I'm sorry I'm moderating, but hey, you asked me in this.
He's
seat,
the host, God, spirit.
I've said in this.
No,
seat,
he got it. I'm going to let you have it.
I'm out of control. We had NASCAR. Now I can't go like 10 miles an hour. Ain't no 10 miles an hour at NASCAR. Dude, you put a pedal to the metal and ride out.
But, oh my gosh.
I forgot where I was. Going to
see
the
what
Navy.
I'm saying?
Going to the Navy, my goal was to showcase. Oh, my grandmama came and lived with us after my granddaddy died. And me and my brother had already wore my mama down because my mama had five children under. I'm the first one of five. She was two older than me. But Lou was 10 years older than me. Freddie was 8 years older than me. So they weren't in our category. They were grown.
Right.
10 years old, Lou was 20. And 8 years old, Lou was 18. So they were grown. They hung out with conversation with my mom and daddy.
Right.
So by the time we got 12 years old, we were breaking my mama down. And we seen it because all other parents, all other families only had one parent, mom. So my mom and daddy was going through issues because my mama was promiscuous as hell. So sometimes my dad was be leaving and he come back and he leave and then he was gone. Then they came in with this, who y'all want to live with shit.
Yeah.
Which really fucked up my world.
Yeah.
Because
I remember telling me that.
Divorce, we getting a divorce. The word mean had no meaning to me. But who y'all going to come live with? That meant separation. I mean, what do you mean? Who are we going to come there? We come live with y'all. No, ain't no y'all. Ain't no us no more.
Right.
Ain't no y'all no more.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. What the fuck?
As a child, it's like heartbreaking.
Because life seemed permanent. And then I seen, it ain't permanent. It's impermanent. And it could change motherfucking on the head of a dime. She could change and flip and be some shit you can't even explain as a child.
Yeah.
So once I went in, my grandma came and she talked about, my grandma used to walk around with an extension cord on her neck. And if you ever seen the Moody Pooty thing, that shit is the truest the shit you ever want to see. Because you've never seen the extension cord coming. All you heard was, and it was back on her neck. I swear to God.
I was just going to ask you, so what was the discipline like? So did your mom discipline you? Did your dad discipline you? Fake dad?
My mom worked two jobs. She worked with some people on Dale Mabry and West Boulevard. Dale Mabry, West Shore, and all that. West Shore.
Okay.
Bay Shore. That's the word.
Bay Shore.
So she worked for one white people, and then the other people, white people, come pick her up, take her to her house after she finished the first white people, and then she go work for them. Taking care of their children, ironing their clothes, washing their dishes, sweeping their floors.
Dang, 40, so that's literally what you had to see your mama do.
40 cents an hour.
That's so
and my
sad.
Daddy worked for 75 cents an hour construction, digging holes, digging ditches, and he became a foreman. He was making like $1.25.
Lord Jesus. Yeah. That, I mean, just being able to hear that coming from, like, you know what I'm saying? That's like a generation away from me. So like, it's like, we were that close to being living like that too. Somebody.
This story gonna run a wee bit, cause I gotta tell you about my grandma. My grandma came and brought fucking discipline. She brought motherfucking
education. Teaching.
Full disclosure. She brought
overconfidence. I don't know.
When you in charge of everything, she was in charge, she told us. She called her daughter, my mama, little sister, she made us call her my dear. We was the first my dear in the fucking whole Tampa that I know of. Because my mom, grandma said, I'm going to call her mother dear or my dear. We don't know about no mother dear. We don't even know how to say that shit.
Right.
Mother dear. Two words together.
Mother dear.
So we just say my dear. And then my dear was cool. But anyway, she said, She called her little sister. Little sister ain't going to have nothing else to do with this house no more. And so y'all got to go through me.
We Who is little sister? Your mama?
My mama.
Oh, wow.
She said, my mama don't work enough. Her husband died. My granddaddy died. So she moved in with us. Mm. And she took over.
And isn't that Grandma Clara?
No. That's my mama, Clara.
Oh,
Clara
okay.
Mama, which is Mary.
Oh, okay.
Mary Frances.
I clearly didn't notice that.
And when she came, she actually came to the rescue. But we didn't see that. I didn't see that. I used to hate her.
Yeah.
I used to physically.
I remember you wrote a poem about
advising
it.
Advising how she going to die. Not me going to kill her, but she just died. From lightning, pow. Somebody just come and stab her. She fall down and die. Heart attack. I just wanted to see her die. Mm-hmm. Because we had no fucking freedom. We had to be the first motherfucker, the last children to go out to play. And the first bitches back in. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Me and Bo try to sneak out the window. Guess what? We get down the window. Guess who'll be on the porch when we come around fucking camp around the side of the house? My grandma. Oh, she put a fucking stop on every fucking thing we thought we was going to do. She put a fucking stop on.
Right.
And I'm grateful to the bitch today. Because when I went into the Navy.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I found out they couldn't teach me that shit. Mm-hmm. All that shit. I went to boot camp and it was white dudes and some black dudes, some of them special from Chicago, was coming from Chicago. They were just fucking so separated from all that they know and all that they'd ever seen before. Mm-hmm. See, I had three girls pregnant. Mm-hmm. I couldn't, ain't no going back for me.
Right.
Just walk back.
Right.
Ain't, whatever the fuck was ahead of me, can't be worse than the shit going back. I done talked to one of the mamas, I ain't want to see the mother too. Yeah, so I'm going to go find out what the fuck's wrong with me because I knew something was wrong with me.
Right.
I'm going to go fix me and then I'll get back with one of them and marry them because my mom said I had to do that shit. So when I went into the Navy, the attention to details, the motherfucking ability to make you patient. Patient was a freaking waiting game for me. I'm like, my game is to see who's going to be going to fall out first. Who's going to fall out first? Because bitch ain't going to never fall out in the sun. Mm-hmm. Bitch, we got to rake the yard. Mm-hmm. You don't rake the yard with no fucking umbrella. Mm-hmm. Or you rake the yard. Mm-hmm. Beaming heat. So I ended up realizing that my grandma had made me into a neighbor was going to make me into a sailor, then my grandma had already made me into a soldier. Mm-hmm. So what's the difference between the sailor and the soldier? Just transfer the ship from land to sea.
Okay. So
in the Navy, my goal was to be the greatest Negro Tampa has ever produced.
Okay.
The greatest Negro Tampa has ever produced. Actually, when I was in boot camp, I wrote a little poem. I said, I'm going to be Lord of the Navy. Just some shit I heard. I thought it sounded nice, but I didn't know what the Lord of the Navy was. That's a British term for motherfucking commander in chief. Oh, just commander of the military or the Navy. So my goal was to be just the best example of what it is to be black or Negro, whichever, because black and Negro, black hadn't caught on yet, and Negro was still in vogue. Mm-hmm. So it was. Whichever call me, I'm gonna be the best of either one of y'all.
Okay.
But I ain't gonna be black because mostly black men. Not accepting a white position. Mm. White rule, white leadership, white ownership, white everything. Black, what I see black in the beginning was we don't accept that shit no more. Well, what's the fucking alternative? What's plan B? We don't have no plan B. But black power to me scared me. Because even Lewis didn't accurately define it to me. But to me, it meant being able to stand up to white people. That I don't give a fuck what you believe. I ain't going to stand up to no fucking white people.
Right.
But until I met Red Malcolm. Guess where I get Malcolm from? Because Lewis brought that book by it. Mm-hmm. So when I went in the Navy, the first book I read was Hendrix. And then the second book I read was Malcolm. And after bringing between George Clinton and Malcolm, I found some new teachers that took me all around the world and all around the galaxy, the universe. Yeah, they took me every place that I couldn't even imagine of even going.
All right, so.
Everything I am about now, I'm a bit of a woman, I got one point. Everything that Malcolm was about then, even I didn't accept it all because he was too radical. Mm-hmm. I talk shit in front of white people. I didn't understand that.
I love it.
I didn't understand it. But as I grew up and where I am now, I understand it. I actually get a story. When he was at Berkeley and he was leaving the Berkeley campus, and the white girl went to ask him, what can she do? And he told her, ain't nothing you can do. I felt so sorry for the white girl, I was about to cry when I read that shit. I'm like, how are you going to be so mean?
The truth.
How are you going to be so mean to the white, this little poor ass white girl? I realized you cannot contaminate any kind of Blackfoot movement with white people.
Spirits, we are talking about parenting.
Oh, I forgot. Damn.
Yep. And this is old school poet, which is my co-host, and he likes to digress. Y'all already know, you heard him in season 3. He can't stop, never stop talking. I'm not even sure if we're gonna have him back. But anyway, let's get to parenting. So how did all of that, and we're literally running out of time, so now we have to stop it and then come back. So this is gonna be a part 2.
Love it. More advertisers. Yeah, more
advertising. Okay, so do you have anything else to say? Why don't you just run it up? Run the time up, because we got 2 minutes.
Okay, so once I was in the Navy, and I discovered Malcolm and George Clinton. Malcolm took a long time to grow into me, but that's where I am now. So when I get out of the Navy, I got these colored ideals about me, and then out of the goddamn sky, that goes crack. Boom. Mm. So now, crack hits the fucking market.
You telling your whole life story.
But it's all related, because without crack, I would have been like a B-plus parent, but with crack, I was D.
So you had to implement the crack in order for you to talk about parenting for yourself.
Because it's all related. You can't know the full story until you know what crack, the direction crack sent me in. So you got to know that. I was on my way to being, after the Navy, after 8 years in the Navy, I'm 26, my goal was, I'm going to come back to Tampa, this cultural desert, and bring a brilliance, a rainbow of light.
Okay, but you had 3 children going in. Why is that your goal? Wouldn't your goal be to be a daddy?
No, I saw that while I was in the Navy.
Wouldn't your goal to come home?
I got married. She became a mistress like my mama, so I did like my daddy did. Fuck her. See that bitch later.
Oh, so you married in the Navy?
Yeah, I got married. That was my first year in.
How many times have you been married?
3 right now. And counting. Okay. Okay. The next one's going to be the last one. But see, I've been practicing. Now I know what it's all about.
Okay.
I'm serious. Men think that they know. Men shouldn't get married. Women shouldn't get married till they're 30, 35, close to 40. Especially men. Because men have no clue of who the fuck they are until right about then.
You know what? This was actually a really good show. Spirits, definitely tune in for
sorry about that, folks.
I got daddy issues / father figure part 2. Leo.
Yeah, you wanna do part 2?
Spirits, you already heard what Mr. Pig said. That is all, folks. And you ain't got to go home, but I literally got to go. That officially concludes the show. I hope you liked it. I hope you learned something. And I hope you were inspired to change for the better, honestly. And if you were and you want to let us know, please feel free to comment. Don't forget to hit that like button. Don't forget to hit that bell notification so you can keep up with me. So you can keep up with my guests, so you can keep up with upcoming events and everything else. And also answer that question that was asked in the previous part of the show. The question that was asked was, do you believe having an absent father affects your identity as a child into adulthood? Again, answer the question for us, spirits. Join the conversation. I look for your intel, your intake, your opinions. Do you believe having an absent father affects your identity as a child into adulthood? Answer that question. You can check it out on Spotify. You can answer that question. You can also answer that question on our social media channels, handles will be giving out shortly. Next episode is October 9th, and we are sitting back with Pops Spears, because he talks so much. Clearly, this man he got so much to say. I should start his own podcast for him, okay? But we're back with Pops, and we are talking father figure part 2, okay, with old school poet. And speaking of old school poet, you can find him on Facebook at Old School Poet Kamal. That's OLESCHOOLPOETKAMAU. But keep in mind, spirits, his Facebook is subject to change, as well as his Instagram, but I'm still going to give it out to you. And here it is. Old School Poet on Instagram is old school poet. OLESCHOOLPOET. Just, you know, it's just old school poet. Like, seriously. As for me as an artist, you know, things are happening, all right? I am working on things on my own. Because when I was partnering up with a particular person, and I know he's listening to this episode. So, hi, Ben. You know, he was supposed to help me publish the book, but, you know, that didn't pan out, like I said earlier. So, here we are doing it on my own. So, Spirit, honestly, be on the lookout because it's coming now. Now that I'm doing it on my own, being that it was already done, all I needed was somebody to... I don't want to get into detail. Be on the lookout. You can find me as an artist on Facebook at That Girl in Orange. That's THATGIRLNORANGE. On Instagram, Miss Kiki Kamau at That Girl in Orange. As well as on YouTube, Miss Kiki Kamau. That's MZKIKIKAMAU. If you are interested in our services for Kamau Empire Community and Public Relations, where it's graphic designing, marketing strategies, branding, as well as podcast building and business building and social media managing, definitely check us out on Facebook at Orkia Kamau, which is ORKIYAKAMAU. Or you can find us on Instagram at Kamau Empire CPR. That's KamauEmpireCPR. Or you can find us, and you can see us on YouTube at Kamau Empire CPR. Yes, and that is it. As promised in our last episode of Spirits, we said that we were going to do an outro for artists and entrepreneur spotlights, and here it is. I get my spotlights from seeing who is, in my opinion, working the hardest as an artist, okay? When I scroll through social media channels, if they're all over the place, like posting and putting things in their stories and all, I'm just like, okay, they doing it, okay, and I see you. So I see you, Sincere to Illest. Spirits, you remember him from season 4 when I was interviewing artists and entrepreneurs, or creatives and entrepreneurs. So you can hear that episode, and that episode will be reintroducing him again on YouTube with the video this time, coming up on YouTube soon. Posting every Friday on YouTube, by the way. So Sincere to Illest, you can find him on YouTube with his new song Poison and the new music video. It is so seductive. Anyway, Sincere to Illest on YouTube with his new song, new single Poison. You can find him at SYNCERE DAILLEST. That is on YouTube, but if you go on Instagram, it's Sincere_the_Illest. Don't forget that part. And finally, but not least, last but not least, we would like to give a huge shout out to entrepreneur, to a small business company, the Red Gator Digital Marketing Company. Red Gator Digital Marketing for the construction industry by an agency that actually understands construction. Okay, so let's go over their services really quick, Spirits, just in case you are wondering, what do they do? And then I will let you know their website. So they actually develop websites and manage them. PPC, which is pay-per-clicks ads, if you're interested in Google ads and such of that nature, search engine optimization, social media strategies, funnel marketing strategies, e-commerce marketing strategies, and so much more. You can find them at redgatordigital.com, or you can message them at info@redgatordigital. That's if you're interested in utilizing their services. So big ups to Red Gator Digital. They are working really hard and we see you. Okay. Upcoming upcoming dates for outro, for, I'm sorry, for events, spirits, there are no upcoming events that I know of at this particular time, but I do want to give a shout out to Creative Lounge Open Mic Night every third Wednesday. We just had a previous nice, really intimate, successful one, so that took place. And be on the lookout for the one in October. Every third Wednesday, spirits, be there or be square. And you can also find me doing the on-the-spot interviews as well. So if you are an artist and you're looking to be interviewed for content, definitely come see me at Creative Lounge at the Moonlight Lounge. Big ups to Paint and Pens with Breezy Paintings LLC. You spirits probably remember her from season 3 as well. As well as DJ Solo with Paint and Pens. They just had it this Sunday, which was yesterday. So big ups to them as well. And big ups for Speak for the Culture presented by the Boss Bureau this past Sunday. They had a Sunday fun day for artist appreciation. Yeah. Well, it was fun, but I gotta run. Thank you for your mind. And until next time, spirit, I look forward to seeing you. I look forward to speaking with you. I look forward to empathizing with you. And I look forward to hearing from you. Until next time. Bye, high spirit. I am matched for you. I get the crowd lit after you. Yeah. That is what masters do. They say she a poet, now a rapper too. Ooh, how she so confident? Try to tear down her confidence. Say her poetry nonsense, using explicit, she is not God sent. But I'm still here. And I think I made that very clear. Okay.
I'm still here, I'm still here, I'm still here, I'm still here. Hey! I'm still here. Here. MB and Rocco, we right here, we right here. I ain't playing. Ooh, ooh, I ain't playing.